Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your live connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Good afternoon, everybody. Today is May 9th, 2015, and you're listening live with Body, Mind, Spirit Radio. And you're listening to Divine Light with Virginia Mercury and your host, Virginia Mercury. Virginia is an intuitive counselor and metaphysical practitioner who is here to explore the importance of being a ray of light on this planet. I know she has a wonderful show planned for you guys today, and she's actually running a little bit late. Traffic has kind of got her out of the studio at the moment, but I know she is on her way. But I actually have her guest here with me today, and I would love to have him introduce himself and talk about a little bit of what he does and so forth until Virginia gets here. So hello, and please introduce yourself.
Hello. My name is Keith Young, also known as Hero.
Okay.
And I have a program called Afro Perspectives.
Okay.
And it's an educational program where I educate people in my community about African history and spirituality and metaphysics.
So I know I talked to you a couple minutes before the show start. What kind of got you into this?
My need to find my own personal history.
Okay.
Kind of, it was the initial thread that I started pulling at and looking for my family tree. There's not a lot of information about my family tree past my great-grandparents. And so that started a search for my history.
Okay.
And that history, my searching for my personal history led into actually searching for the history of my people beyond slavery.
Okay.
What they teach us in our schools and inner-city urban communities is that our history pretty much began with slavery.
Mm-hmm.
And that there wasn't anything prior to that other than maybe being in Africa with some grass skirts on and, you know, running around with huts and things like that. So I began to get into the history of our cultures and civilizations that have gone back for thousands and thousands of years, and that started to open the door to spirituality and metaphysics and things that I never even knew were related to the history of my people.
Okay. That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, I can relate to that. I mean, being in school, I know that you learn about slavery in the beginning of the country and so forth, but you don't go really much further in depth as far as that. Can I ask what you found out about your ancestors?
My ancestors in particular, or just my history? So as I started looking backwards, one of the first civilizations I learned about was the civilization of Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
It was called Egypt by the Greeks, but it was prior to that known as Kemet. And the culture of Kemet was world-renowned for its feats of architecture, mathematics, sciences, having universities and things like that, the universities before anywhere on the planet. And I never knew that. I never knew that they were making steel and iron in ancient Africa thousands of years ago.
Wow.
I had no clue. I had no clue about, you know, the Greek philosophers like Aristotle and Plato and Pythagoras, all of them saying, well, you know, I went to school in Egypt. And that's a pretty big deal because supposedly those are the fathers of medicine, those are the fathers of philosophy, the fathers of mathematics and things like that. But it's kind of conveniently left out of the school books that they were educated by African men and women.
Oh, wow.
So that was very profound for me to find out because those subjects I always had to associate with something else, something other than myself, and it was very not interesting. Like history that I learned in school was it was about kings and queens and people who did not look like me. And so I was very disinterested. History became a lot more interesting when I found those pieces of the puzzle.
Well, I don't think a lot of people know that, especially about our major philosophers, because most people assume that they got everything from Greek and Roman. Right. You know, a lot of people look at that culture as, you know, kind of the setting stones of a lot of things that, you know, happened and helped kind of create modern civilization.
Yeah.
I don't know if any of our listeners know this, but a lot of people, you know, a lot of historians say that our plumbing, you know, the Romans created plumbing,
mm-hmm.
you know, to where they could actually get water out of pipes
mm-hmm.
and make those things. And so we rack a lot of our history to the Romans.
Yeah.
And you've actually went further and studied a lot further. So what kind of led you into the metaphysical portion of this?
Well, so what led me into the metaphysical part was that they had a science in ancient Kemet that was a part of their educational system. Originally, where I got led to was the liberal arts.
Okay.
And the liberal arts being the like the foundation of what you need to know in order to be able to be a complete human being. And those were defined as grammar, logic, and rhetoric, and as the trivium, which is three. That's like the first three paths. And then the next four is called the quadrivium, and it's arithmetic, geometry, music, and astronomy.
Okay.
And you needed to know those things before they would even say, you know, that's pretty much like elementary school for the Egyptian school. And then as you would graduate that, then they would lead you into something called the mystery school. The mystery school is where you would learn about what we today call metaphysics, where you can learn the science of your mind and how you can use your mind and your emotions to have an effect on the environment around you, how to create your reality, how to create your world, how to, you know, it's pretty much what we call magic. That and so it, that's like right in their history. It's like not hidden if you study that particular portion of their history. It's like laid out. You learn this, you learn that, and you progress.
It wasn't something that was kind of shoved underneath the rug. It was actually part of their curriculum.
Right, that was part of their curriculum. But it's not part of our curriculum in our school, so you wouldn't know it if you didn't look for it.
Correct.
What I found interesting as well is that they actually purposely left these breadcrumbs for people to find. Like once you started pulling at those threads or looking for your history, you would stumble across it. They left those things in the form of the monuments and in the form of the pyramids and the obelisks and then in various other places where they have unexplainable architecture. Like how can these ancient people who supposedly didn't have the wheel, they didn't have mortar, they didn't have any high-tech machinery. How are they building these megalithic sites with these, you know, with these granite slabs that weigh over 100 tons that they can't move today with any machinery?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, well, that's supposed to get your mind working. Like, well, how did they do that?
Yeah.
So that's how I kind of got led into it.
Well, thank you, Virginia, for joining us. I told our listeners that you were running just a tad bit late, so I've been enjoying talking to your guests until you got here. So I'm going to let you take over.
I appreciate that. So as you know, we are always talking about how the light workers currently in Detroit are working one spark at a time to bring the City of Light into existence. I had the privilege of meeting Keith Young, or Heru as he likes to be called, at a fashion show back in February for Black History Month. And I was so taken by the things that he had talked about. And I realized that a lot of the message that he was conveying to us was similar to much of what many of us have been talking about in the Black metaphysical community, such as the oneness of us all. I don't know exactly all of what you spoke of, and I'm just going to lay that out plain and clearly, so I apologize for any repetition of things. But if I had have started the show, the one thing I would have told you is that do not hear the term Afro perspectives. Do not listen to the term Black spirituality and be turned off by it. This show is really about the history of all of our spiritualities and world religions. So if you would be dissuaded by those words, this is not the show for you to listen to today. But I hope that in listening to Courtney and Keith that you would have already gained some insights into what we're trying to do, which is elevate the consciousness. I wanted to ask Keith, or do you prefer to be called Haru?
Either one's fine.
I wanted to ask you a little bit about your story, because I want the audience to realize the similarities between the stories that Keith has told and some of my other guests on the show, including myself through my writings. Keith, can you tell me a little bit about the year 2008 and why that was symbolic for you?
So in 2008, I was a police officer. I had been a police officer for about 8 years working for the city of Detroit. And as I was telling Courtney, around that time I had a hunger for learning about my own personal family history. But I was also kind of going through a personal transformation in that I was deciding to leave my career as a police officer in order to start an educational program for youth to teach them how to use the computer to do things like graphics, web design, videos, cartoons, and things like that, how to be productive and creative with the computer instead of just playing with it. And I had decided that because in my career as a police officer, I began to see that I was really a part of a system that's in place, especially in many urban areas, that's set up to prey upon children, to prey upon the fact that they're improperly and undereducated. And when those improperly and undereducated children get put into stress, stressful situations such as living in an urban neighborhood presents, they wind up making mistakes and getting thrown into prison and becoming a part of what's called the prison industrial complex, which basically is a new form of slavery. People get put into prison and they're actually doing work for major corporations. They're fielding phone calls and they're making clothes and they're building roads and doing things like that. And so that's a way to exploit the ignorance of people. And so I found that a lot of young people were making bad decisions because of a lack of exposure to possibilities of being able to do something more with their lives, to be able to be creative or to have creative careers and things like that. So I wanted to stop being a part of that system and start being a part of the solution that would help people to escape that particular fate. I put together my program. I got a grant from Adobe to teach about 200 children how to use their creative software like Photoshop and After Effects and things like that. And I partnered with a nonprofit in Detroit. I resigned from being a police officer, and I've been educating with schools and nonprofits and such ever since. But that also led, that particular time led me into the search of the history of my people and our contributions to the world and culture and society as we know it, which led me into the history of Africa, Kemet, and that turned into me learning about their advanced spiritual systems, which today we would call magic or metaphysics or, you know, all the various traditions within that, whether it's you're talking about, you know, doing rituals, you're talking about divination, you're talking about, you know, the various uses of cards and sigils, and, you know, all those traditions have their origin where everyone has their origin. I mean, scientifically, everyone has their origin on Africa, in and throughout Africa. And from there, new life and everything blossomed.
Keith, you said something very poignant to me, the mystery schools. I have to say, you know, I really tuned into your websites and your YouTube broadcasts. And you mentioned something about the apprenticeships or the initiation into mysticism at those times as compared to today. What do you think is the main difference between the way in which we were initiated and the way in which we are initiated now?
Well, the initiations in those days kind of prepared you a bit more for spirituality. It got your mind right for it. today people are kind of self-initiating and they're reading one or two books or they're listening to one or two people they consider to be gurus, and overnight they're magical, mystical people. And they're finding that they may not be having the type of success that they want, or it's kind of short-lived. It's kind of like a high. You learn something new, you hear something that gets you inspired, you do it a couple times, and it kind of fizzles out. Whereas in the ancient mystery schools, it was more of like a way of life. You were learning this stuff from the time that you were a child, and it was a progression. I kind of spoke a little bit earlier before you got here about the liberal arts, and that prepared your mind for being able to think logically,
mm-hmm.
and to be able to apply magical or mystical concepts more holistically. Because sometimes we kind of gravitate to one thing or another, like they're all separate things. So I might be really interested in using tarot cards, but not so much in ritual or doing making my own sigils or speaking my reality into existence, things like that. I may not be into that at all, but I'm very much into one particular thing. But the ancient school taught you that all those things were interconnected, and you can use them all. You didn't have to separate one from another, and that it would be more like a way of life for you. It wasn't like you were a deviant or a specialist. It was like that. No, this is my life is being creative. My life is everything that I do has a repercussion. As a matter of fact, that's one of the reasons why some people decided to start giving that lifestyle up, because it was like you were responsible for everything that you did. Everything that you said, you were responsible for it.
That's interesting, because one of the things that I'm receiving is that when you cross over the threshold between life and death and you find yourself in the spiritual realm, you immediately become aware of how powerful those thoughts are that you have. So you learn as a returning spirit to be very intentional about what you think, because so it shall be, because there's not this lapse in time as there is on earth. And speaking of the spiritual realm, the host of Virginia Mercury found that in rediscovering her own native roots, shamans were initiated through very trying tests. One of them even involved being buried head up from the ground and having people pass by you, urinate on your head, mock at you, and being exposed to all of the elements. And I know that in the mystery schools, as you said, many of the people in mysticism were initiated from a very young age. What role now does the spiritual realm play in initiating those of us who have lost our ties to traditional society?
Well, what's going on now is, because there aren't very many places where you can get a traditional initiation. An initiation was designed to traumatize you. There's a couple ways to kind of create a life change in a person. And what you're trying to do is program your subconscious mind when you do that. So when you're programming your subconscious mind, you're either going to get it programmed through trauma, or you're going to get it programmed through repetition, or through some advanced spiritual work. But usually an initiation was about traumatizing the person. They would have to go through things that they didn't think they could do, very arduous physical tasks, or things that you, like you mentioned, maybe being buried up to your head, something that would be very scary, terrifying, that on something that was so traumatic to you that you can start to define your life from, you know, before this happened to me, I was doing this. After this happened to me, I'm a completely different person. That's what an initiation was for. And so since that doesn't too much exist in our modern societies, what happens is on the spirit realm, you get led into situations with people, circumstances, or whatever that traumatizes you. You may have a traumatic experience at work. You may have a traumatic experience with a family member or a lover, someone that does something to you, someone that hurts you, something that causes you to question who you are at your core. And as you work your way through that trauma of whatever that situation may have been, that is a form of being spiritually initiated. And that there's circumstances that you won't ever, you don't like. You won't be like, oh, that was great. That was, you know, thank you so much. But when you have reached a higher spiritual level because of that, because of the work that you had to do to work your way through that trauma, you will be able to, in time, look back on that situation like, you know, I understand that now. You know, even for very severe traumas that include perhaps being molested, raped, taken advantage of, someone that you loved betrayed you, stole all your money, things like that, things that, you know, really hurt you to your heart. But the way that you work through that is how you are being initiated via spirit. Spirit kind of guides you to that. You kind of guided yourself to that. Because, once again, there's a lack of being able to go to the shaman in your community to have them initiate you in such a harsh manner. What's different, though, is that when we were in a community where those initiations happened, you kind of knew it was coming. Like, it was a coming of age, you know, thing. When you were 13 or 14, you knew that you had to get initiated at that age. So you kind of had a little bit of time to prepare. Some of the initiations that we go through now, they come out of the blue. You don't have any clue that you're about to have a traumatic experience happen in your life, and you kind of feel alone because you don't know where to go or what to do. But as people start to come to you, and or you start to reach out to people for help or assistance or whatever, that is the help that was being provided to you from spirit. So
Keith, may I ask you, if you will be so kind, are there any experiences or initiations that you've had in the past or recently that have shaken you to your core, that have caused you to question or redefine the path that you're on currently?
Yes.
Would you care to expand upon that?
Yeah, okay. So when I was a police officer, for about 4 years I worked for Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick on their executive protection unit. And prior to that, I worked at various places throughout the city. And I thought I was a pretty good officer. You have to actually be a pretty good officer in order to even get onto the executive protection unit. But I have worked various places. I have a life-saving award in Detroit. I helped save someone's life. I have a top shooter award from the academy. I was the president of my academy class. So I thought I was pretty good at being a police officer. When I got down to the executive protection unit, it was like I couldn't do anything right. You know, I got talked about. I got ostracized from the people who I shared the unit with. I wasn't like in the in crowd, and so that made me feel some type of way. It was a very stressful situation, and as I'm sure everyone knows, what happened with the mayor, and you know how now he is in jail, but the situation down there became very stressful for me. I was his driver for a while, so I used to drive him around everywhere. And he liked to go everywhere late. And so I would have to drive sometimes 100 miles per hour to get him where he wanted to go.
To the strip clubs, correct?
No, not strip clubs. That was before I got there, actually.
That had been cleaned up a bit.
Before I got there, when he was doing the club thing. But mostly I would take him to the airports or to appointments and things like that. But he always would want to go late, and I didn't want to be the guy on the news, Officer Young crashes Mayor Kilpatrick in a horrific 100-mile-per-hour crash, you know. So all these things are very stressful. And my back actually went out on me to the point where I couldn't move. And at this time I was playing with the idea of leaving the police department and starting my own educational program. My partner at the time, he was an independently wealthy entrepreneur, and he was sharing with me, well, if you want to be an entrepreneur, you want to have your own business, you need to get your mind together. You need to get your mind right. So I'm going to recommend that you read a couple of books. The first two books that he recommended that I read were Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill and Success is a Choice by Rick Pitino. And those two books really helped to change my life. It did help me to get my mind right as far as being able to understand that it's my mind that helps to create my reality. So whether I'm going to be successful or if I'm going to be a failure, it's not the responsibility of my fellow coworkers. It's not the responsibility of the mayor or anybody else to help boost my self-esteem. I have to do that myself. And if I'm going to be successful, it's not going to be based on what somebody else says or thinks. It's going to be based on the work that I put in, my intentions, and what I decide to make true for myself. And when I got that particular mindset, my entire world started to change. My back got better. I didn't have to. They thought I was going to have surgery, but I didn't. I got better. I was able to see my world change. And in the middle of my world changing for the better, I literally got to see somebody else's life crumble to pieces in front of me. And it was like a karmic thing. You actually get to see karma in action. And I was like, wow. Just seeing that, being able to witness that up close and personal really changed my life. Because I didn't have anything to do with anything that was illegal or bad going on there. It was one of those things where you discover why you're not on the in crowd. I wasn't a part of the in crowd because the people who were in that particular in crowd, a lot of them are either in jail, fired, lost their jobs, have been discredited, you know, things like that. And I got to be completely separate from that. So it turned out to be a good thing that I wasn't accepted in and made a part of the club, if you will. And but in the midst of it, of going through that, it was a very traumatic experience for me. And it did change my life. But I got to see in retrospect how Spirit was there to provide, you know, little bits of help for me along the way.
What a very powerful testimony. The host of Virginia also knows someone who you were affiliated with during that time who became her mentor and also helped her out with Black Mills and the environment in which she worked. So the host of Virginia will reconnect you with that person because he too holds on to a sense of guilt from that time period. And in working with those youth, that was part of the way in which he felt the need to pay off some type of karmatic debt of that time. Keith, it almost sounds as if your ancestors were calling out to you one by one or as a group and giving you those books to read, telling you what to say. It's interesting because when the host met with you earlier this week, you mentioned that you did not see yourself as a guru or even a medium or someone with special powers, but indeed you are. You're just calling that forth and into remembrance, and it's just you accepting that because it's no coincidence that you are here on this show today, and it's no coincidence that you are affiliated with some of the affiliations of the host. And in time, you will see how this is unfolding. The host is even aware of at this time of how great this mission is, but these are all a part of soul contracts and reasons why we are all brought here in soul groups at the same time in order to help each other and to forward the mission of this planet at this very crucial time. I would like to ask you one more question before we take a short pause and do some announcements. Keith, what is the main thing that you would like to say to people who are on this path of spirituality, who feel the stirring in their heart to leave a life that no longer serves them and to bring themselves into alignment with divine wisdom?
I would say do it. I would say follow your heart. That's the most important thing. However you feel urged to make a move in your life or to make changes in your life, you're going to have to find the courage to do that. It doesn't matter what your friends say, what your family says, how you feel people are going to look at you, if you feel like, you know, someone's going to say, well, you're crazy, or look at everything that you're giving up or, you know, whatever your excuse is for not moving forward, you're going to have to come to terms with that. And I would say trust yourself, trust your heart, trust the fact that you're going to go in the right direction. There is no manual for it. There is no written manual. Contrary to popular belief, there is no written manual that tell you that you are doing the right thing. You're going to have to trust yourself, and you're going to have to trust that power that's inside of you to guide you in the right direction. And I would just say give it a try and see. That's what worked for me. You know, you don't have to, you know, make a major, complete life change overnight. Just try it. Try it out little by little and test it out to see if it's going to work for you. And I'm fairly certain that it is because it's worked for me. And every time I've tested it out, every time I've put my foot in the water to kind of test the temperature, if you will, it's always worked out for me by me testing it, by me having faith and going into it with a positive attitude. But you have to put that energy into it first. It's not going to happen for you. If you don't, if you go into it with a negative attitude, if you think that you're going to fail, you are absolutely going to fail. I would say go into it with an open heart and an open mind and just give it a try. And once you put one foot in front of the other, then put the next foot in front of the other one and keep going. And then you'll find yourself places that you never believed that you can go.
And those tests don't end, do they?
Never. Never. As soon as you think that you have arrived, then you find that you have a new adventure to go on. But if you find yourself wanting to stay in your comfort zone, you're going to find yourself starting to die on the inside. You're going to find yourself becoming stagnant, not feeling so good, being lethargic. And that's not good. You don't want to slip back into that space either. Where you feel like you've arrived or that you know it all, that you've learned it all, that you've mastered it, that's a trap. That's a trap for that your ego creates to keep you from going higher spiritually. You always want to be looking for your next adventure, if you will. And I think that's a big part of what being a hero is about. Heroes in the movies, that's why they have a part two to the movie, a part three, a part four, Rocky Five. You know, it's like, how can they keep having more and more adventures in entertainment? It's like, well, because that's what your life is supposed to be. It's supposed to be a constant series of adventures which creates growth for you. So,
you're a true philosopher. And what amazes me about you, Haru, is that your job is not only to provide answers, but to ask the questions that we need to take inwardly and ask ourselves and discover the answers to.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Now, as we pause, I would like to recognize the sponsors of this show. One of them is Odyssey Counseling of Royal Oak. The owner and founder is Kimberly Taylor, licensed professional counselor. I know that this is a very interesting time for those of us as we ride the roller coaster of Obamacare. Many of us are underinsured or have no insurance at all. So Kimberly would like you to know that she does work on a sliding scale, and that sliding scale starts with $35 per hour, and it tops out at $95 per hour. So the one thing that is great about working with private practice is that you don't have to keep starting over again with therapists. And she is very well trained in dealing with women's issues, migrant issues, life transitions, adjustments, general anxiety and depression, trauma, as well as just helping you to find your own path. If you're interested in working with her, you may give her a call at area code 248 248-943-5196. Again, that is area code 248-943-5196. Our other sponsor is ChristianBooksellers.net. Now, do not be turned away from the term Christian booksellers. I know that some of you may have had your own experiences, but this is a very diverse book company. The founder and owner is Minister Gloria Lee, and she has books on many topics that would relate to the metaphysical community. I recommend that you read You Are the Prophet of Your Life, and also If You Believe in God, Then You Do Not Belong in Prison. Yes, those are two actual titles. Minister Lee also has a free website for women entrepreneurs who cannot afford their own website. You can go on to puttingwomenfirst.com and find her page. And if you submit your material, whether it be business cards or photos, she will happily list them in the directory and also link any other current websites that you may have to them. Minister Lee will be a future guest on the show, and she will talk to you about the partnership that she has with ChristianBooksellers.net and Odyssey Counseling. Now, Keith, I wanted to bring you back and talk a little bit about some of your upcoming lectures. When is your next lecture going to be, and what is it called?
So I have a lecture coming up next week on Thursday the 14th at the Jungle Juice Bar in Grosse Pointe, and the lecture is going to be on the subject of the media and your mind, how the media is basically a system for mind control, and how you can recognize the mind control, decode it, and be able to see it for what it is. A lot of people, you know, spend a lot of time watching movies, reading books, reading magazines, seeing billboards, advertisements, things like that, listening to the radio, and they have no clue about all of the mind control that's embedded into those particular forms of entertainment. And so that's what my lecture is going to be about. And then on June the 4th, I'm going to have another lecture at the same place, the Jungle Juice Bar in Grosse Pointe. And that's going to be called The Magnificent Moors. It's about the history of the Moors in Spain and Portugal and their cultural, scientific, and musical contributions to Europe.
Wow, well, I will certainly look forward to being a guest there. I wanted to go back to Courtney and ask if there are any interesting comments to be brought out from the chat room or any callers that we may have waiting with comments.
A lot of people are responding very positively to the topic and you, but we don't actually have any callers or particular questions at this point in time. But I will point out that I have given out your information for them to contact you personally, and I would recommend you do so as well. Because you have a lot of people on here who are very interested, so, but nobody really biting to ask a question.
Well, I'm sure that everything is in divine order. I'd like to go back to you, Keith, and ask you a little bit also about some of the DVDs that you have, because you have quite an extensive collection on there. What is the title that you are most proud of or that just embodies the essence of Afro Perspective?
I don't know about being the most proud of, but I know the one that I had the most fun researching and presenting was on Who Killed the Goddess. And that's a DVD. It's on my website, afroperspectives.com. And it was a live presentation that I gave at Nandi's Knowledge Cafe in Highland Park, Michigan. And it was on the subject of the goddess. And my search began for the missing goddess in Christianity. So there's a God the Father, there's a God the Son, and then there's this nebulous Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, where's God the Mother?
Mm-hmm.
And I found out that she had been erased
mm-hmm.
from that particular religious belief. And that not only has she been erased there, but
mm-hmm.
she's been erased in all the major religions, and she's been erased pretty much throughout the world. As I began my studies of, well, who is the goddess, what is the goddess, and I began to discover that before everyone was so enthralled with this patriarchal father god, that everyone was very much in love with the mother goddess.
Hmm.
And that there's evidence of her all over the planet. There's no corner in this planet where there was not a goddess, and that she did not show up in some way, shape, or fashion. And she's still there today, but she's been hidden. She's been covered over and called
mm-hmm.
things like the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost or the glory of God or something like that. But when you dig into the original meanings of the words, like I was taught that Shekinah in the Bible was the glory of God. We'll come to find out that Shekinah is the name of a goddess, and that was Yahweh's female counterpart.
Hmm.
And that symbol that you see that's known as the Star of David or the Shield
mm-hmm.
of Solomon, the one with the upward-facing triangle and then the downward-facing triangle interlocked,
mm-hmm.
that the upward-facing triangle is the masculine
mm-hmm.
and the downward-facing triangle is the feminine, and that symbol means the divine union of the masculine and the feminine getting together
mm-hmm.
to create life, to create
mm-hmm.
that new thing, to create
mm-hmm.
the sun, which
mm-hmm.
is in the center there. I never knew that, and all these discoveries that I'm finding out about the goddess were fascinating
mm-hmm.
to me. And normally my lectures would be one day, maybe 3 hours. I had to do 3 days of a lecture for 3 hours each when presenting that, and I'm still finding out new things about the goddess because, like I said, her history is everywhere,
mm-hmm.
And she's been called many different things by many different people. And so it's just fascinating that she's there and she's kind of hidden in plain sight. Just like the things, a lot of the things I teach are about the things that are hidden in plain sight.
Mm-hmm.
So I think all of the topics that I teach are very interesting and fun. That's why I started studying them. And I try to lead people down a pathway that helps them to grow spiritually, kind of like the mystery school. It's like, you don't have to jump into the deep end. You can if you want and you feel like you're prepared. Knock yourself out. But if you want to kind of ease your way into it so that you can understand some of the more advanced concepts, I have some basic topics that will allow, a person to kind of immerse themselves in history and mythology and then move on to metaphysics and magic and spirituality, which is a more organic way of learning. And I think one that will ultimately serve you in the long run, because it kind of empowers you to be able to know that these things are real, to know that there are people far older than we are that were able to do things that we still dream about today. The things that we think are science fiction or the things that we think are fantasy today, people in our past, our ancestors in our history, were doing those magnificent, magical things. And they did them so well that we still can't figure out how the heck they did it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So it's important to know that, and those are the types of things that I share in my presentations.
Hmm. Talk to me a little bit, Keith, about these riots that we've seen lately in Baltimore and other places of the country. I'd like to know, how do you see it spiritually?
Well, that's always a complex thing. There's a lot of things going on. Everybody, remember when everybody was all excited about Y2K and the world's going to come to an end, right?
Definitely.
And everybody got all hot and bothered about 2012. 2012 is going to be the end of the world and things like that. And I think what people fail to understand, one, is that it wasn't a literal thing because we're still sitting here talking, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what that meant was that there was an energetic shift happening, and that the world as you know it was going to be over. The world as So the status quo was going to change. And so that's the energy that's on the planet right now, that the status quo is changing. People are not going to stand for abuse. People are not going to stand for the same old things that they've been putting up with for all these years, and they are going to want to break free from that. There is a revolution of evolution going on, and that people are actively trying to go higher, and you cannot stop that energy. But what's happening is, as people want to evolve higher, there are people who are making profit off of the status quo, and so they don't want you to change. They want you to stay the same. They want you to keep doing the same things you've been doing because they can count on that. They can count on your reactions to things so that they can profit from that. And so as people begin to, as the frequency on the planet kind of is tuning up, there are people who have a vested interest in tuning that frequency back down. So what they'll do is they'll shoot a boy in the back. They'll, you know, kill a man in handcuffs. They'll, you know, a child will get shot with Skittles and, you know, fruit juice walking home, you know, things like that. And then you'll see this injustice. You'll see the justice system turn a blind eye to the fact that these are murders happening by people. You know, we get caught up in words and phrases, so we'll say these police officers did this, and we take the fact away that one human being just murdered another human being. So they'll label one group, you're thugs, and you're, you know, and then these officers, which the word actually carries a whole lot of connotation to it, so we kind of separate it from being a human being who just took someone's life and seeking justice for that. And we actually, what happens is when we react in negative ways, when we react and we want to talk about it and blog about it and look at the injustice and look at how terrible and look what what's happening is your frequency is getting turned right back down, because you're now going to focus on all the negative aspects of culture and society, and you're going to forget for a little while that you've been trying to raise your consciousness. So it's important that, one, you don't turn a blind eye to injustice. That's not what I'm suggesting. But that you don't allow so much of your time, attention, and focus to go to that you're no longer seeking to go higher spiritually. You need to learn to kind of separate the two. If you're going to be a social activist, that's one world. But make sure that you keep your spiritual activism and your spiritual growth separate from that, so that you don't get the two tangled up. And that you don't negatively or adversely affect your spiritual growth by becoming so ensconced in things that you probably can't do a whole heck of a lot about. You do what you can do, and then you keep it moving. You keep going higher. You keep trying to evolve. You keep trying to change. You keep looking for the things that are hidden, and you keep trying to bring those things into the light, not just in the social realm, but in your own world. That's what's really most important, and that's where all these distractions keep coming in. They're going to distract you from doing your personal work, because the more you do your personal work, the more you change yourself, you'll find you will be more effective at changing the world by changing yourself, by becoming a more positive person, by becoming more proactive, by becoming more of a resource for you. You will actually have a more positive effect on the world around you. But if you forget that and you want to just go and react, you want to go and fight, you want to go and argue, then, you know, you're really just kind of spinning your wheels, and you're feeding this system that is designed to feed off of your negativity, feed off your negative energy, that will sell you T-shirts that say, I can't breathe. Who's the guy selling those? Nobody asked that question. Like, so we make these quotes about, you know, the young man got choked by a police officer, and then everybody runs out and buys a T-shirt that says, I can't breathe. Who sold those? Who was banking on the fact that you were going to buy that? There is a system that's set up in place that is designed to profit from your misery, to profit from your outrage even. And we have to ignore that and get down to business. Because, you know, just being reactive, you're putting money in somebody else's pocket. whether that's from T-shirts, whether that's from slogans, whether that's from who's actually feeding these people who are going to these protests, who's giving them water, who's, which insurance companies are the ones who are profiting from these buildings being destroyed, and who's going to go in and do the construction work to fix them back up and things like that. There is an entire system in place that's ready for your outrage.
Well, I realize that was a rhetorical question. I can tell you it's probably the same people who are profiting from gangster rap, and also the same people who are the 1% who control most of the world. I wanted to ask you one more thing because our time is coming to an end, and I also have a very important message from Spirit that I was asked to give, a message and a task, actually. Keith, what is something else that you would want our listeners to know today? Because you've really said a lot. You've enlightened us. And I think some of us are going to want to go deeper. But is there anything else you would like for our viewers, or I'm sorry, our listeners to know?
Well, can you be a little bit more specific? I mean, in what regards? There's plenty of stuff I would like them to know. But maybe can you narrow it down a little bit for me?
Certainly. For someone who is on their path right now and going through tests and challenges and about to give up, what would you tell them?
I would tell them that every test and every challenge is designed for them to grow. It's there on purpose, and that you kind of need to break out of the funk of asking, why is this happening to me?
Mm-hmm.
And start dealing with how you're going to fix the issue. That's the wrong question to ask, why is it happening?
Mm-hmm.
The real question to ask is, how can I overcome this? Because in you overcoming the issue, or whatever that may be that you is going to, you think is so powerful that you need to quit, you need to stop, you need to dig deep and look at things from a different perspective and not be the victim. When you ask why is this
mm-hmm.
happening to me? What you're mm-hmm. doing is you're victimizing yourself. You're making the universe your antagonist,
mm-hmm.
Your circumstance or whatever. And what you're doing is giving something else power over you.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to flip that around because there's no victims. You're only a victim as long as you choose to be victimized.
Mm-hmm.
What you need to do is get over it. Get over being a victim and stop having a pity party. And nobody really wants to even attend your party. So that's only going to last but so long. At some point, you're going to have to start taking some action and start changing your attitude. Things are not going to change in your life until you change your attitude, until you change how you look at the world and you start trying to make a difference in your life. You have to do that first. The universe will meet you halfway, but you have to take some steps first. It's kind of like sitting in front of a fireplace. You can't ask the fireplace to give you some heat if you didn't put any wood in there. If you didn't make some friction, if you didn't put some sparks, throw some flame in there, you can't expect heat from this fireplace. So you can't expect positivity and great things to happen in your life until you start making some positive steps and until you start taking that friction, that pressure in your life, and you start reacting in a positive way to it. You can't expect that to turn around. If you just sit there and you want somebody to fix it for you, you want somebody to give you the solution that's, hand you a piece of paper, here's the solution, here, go do this. That might satisfy you for a moment, but even if someone did walk up to you and give you the solution, if you don't take action
mm-hmm.
on what they gave you, you're still going to wind up in the same spot. So you always are going to get back to you and what are you prepared to do to change your life. No amount of information, no amount of study, no guru you can go to, no oracle reading you can get, no great diviner is going to change your life for you. you have to act on whatever spiritual guidance that you get, whatever inspiration that you receive. You're going to have to take action. You're not going to get around that. So that perhaps is the most important thing for any spiritual rise in consciousness, that you actually take action on the things that you're learning.
And not just sit passively and wait for your prayers to come through.
Right. Yeah, there's no pie in the sky and nobody coming to save you. I promise you that. I don't care if you believe in Osiris, Isis, Shango, the goddess, God. Nobody is coming to save you. I promise you that. You have to do it yourself. All of those things are inside of you. And they're just waiting. It's like if you just knew how much this power was waiting to jump out of you, you would take action right now. But nothing is coming from the sky except a rock. So don't get caught looking up, waiting for something to come and help you. Get busted in the head.
Keith, Haru, it has definitely been a pleasure having you on this show.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
We're not done with you yet.
Okay. Okay.
Well, you're going to be back on again. When, I don't know, but there was so much buzz over this show. I tell you, every 5 minutes, I would say for the past 2 days, there have been people wanting to connect with the show through Facebook, wanting to friend. You know, so there's something about, you know, your energy and the knowledge that you have to bring that people really want to hear. So I applaud you, commend you, and see you as an ally, and keep going. And I thank you so much for mentioning the goddess, because as you know, this is Mother's Day weekend.
Sure is.
We are honoring the goddesses who gave us life. And I'm going to talk to you from the real. This show almost did not happen today. One, because it was very possible that I may not have been alive today to even be here to host the show. Wednesday, while going to Renaissance Unity, I was involved in a very bad car accident. And I found myself spun around in the intersection, and it was one of those moments where your soul leaps out of your body. And I learned a lot about compassion and unconditional love. I felt helpless. Some people gave me cards or tried to help, and there were others who pointed out the window and laughed at me hysterically because, I don't know, they thought it was so funny. And everyone who I tried to get a hold of and reach was not available. Now, during that moment, the person who I had talked about at the end of my last show called me. His name is Robert, and he was just calling to ask me a question. But he called me. And I said, you know what, I need help. I don't have a way to get home. The insurance company is not contacting me, and I'm in shock right now, literally in shock. I cannot think. And he's 10 minutes away. So he just comes, and he gets me. And, I keep thanking him emphatically thanking him, and he's like, but you helped me. And I'm just... We're just going to ignore that 90-second thing that you just heard because it's not going to be 90 seconds. I'm sorry, but I told you all I am very much for real. So I learned about the unconditional love of our Creator, and that was one reminder of that gift of life that had been given to me again on that day. And I spent most of yesterday at the hospital with my daughter. She was in an accident at school. She broke both of her wrists. And I said, what are you trying to tell me? Well, there's a lot of things that I thought about, a lot of answers that came to me. But one of them is that regardless of what has happened, I cannot lay down. the message must come through and that I have to be true to myself and that this is just another test, perhaps even one I had designed long before I got here. So if there are any mothers at home whose only gift is a macaroni necklace that their child made and not a Zales ring or a Pandora bracelet like they're given them, do not fret. I've been in your circumstances before. But unconditional love is the greatest gift that our ancestors are giving to us and our Creator. As Keith has mentioned in a lot of his lectures, our ancestors have done a lot of the work and the heavy lifting for us. They've sacrificed our lives just to get us to this point, as our own mothers have. And many of you who know me and my other life may know that I have two daughters. I have one daughter on the other side of the veil and one daughter on this earth. And my first daughter, Bianca Carolina, sacrificed her life for me, because if she had not chosen to come into this world, I would have not been able to do anything that I'm doing now. She would have been a very sickly child with heart conditions and would have bankrupted me. But Bianca Carolina also taught me how to care for myself and how to nurture myself and be a mother for myself and to set boundaries with people. So just know that Spirit is always there for you with unconditional love. And you cannot speak about a mother without speaking about a father and without speaking about our ancestors. So this message is from Kimberly Taylor, licensed professional counselor, a.k.a. Virginia Mercury. I have never been afraid to reveal myself. I've just had to separate the two. But I am one and the same. And I am here for you, as many of you have been here for me or will be here for me. I thank you so much for your time and for listening today. Selah.